This is the Reading Instruction Show. I am your jolly host, as always, Dr. Andy Johnson. The title of today's podcast, 12 Essential Pillars of Reading Instruction. Now, in 1997, Congress asked the National Institute of Children's Health and Development to work with the U.S. Department of Education to establish a national reading panel. And their task was to evaluate existing research in order to find the best ways of teaching children to read. Imagine that. Apparently, they had never heard of the International Literacy Association. But in 2000, the panel issued their 500-page report called the National Reading Panel Report. And there's lots of problems with that, but we won't go into that. Suffice for this discussion, the National Reading Panel Report described 5 pillars of reading instruction. And they are phonemic awareness, phonics, comprehension, vocabulary, and fluency. And why do I bring this up? Well, if you look at state reading laws, you can see these 5 pillars. But they're called instead 5 foundational elements in these state reading laws. Now, there's nothing inherently wrong with the 5 foundational elements or pillars, except that these 5 pillars are 7 pillars short of a full load. In this podcast, I will describe the 12 essential elements of a comprehensive reading program. They are essential, but not essential for everybody. Again, they are essential, but not essential for everybody in the same way. Some need more of some elements and less of others. Others need less of some elements and more of others. Others need only some of these elements, and still others need all of these elements. So what is comprehensive reading instruction? Comprehensive means total or complete. So a comprehensive reading curriculum or program should include the following 12 elements. Number 1, phonemic awareness. Phonemes means sound, the smallest unit of sound within a spoken word. English has about 44 phonemes. We have 26 letters in the English alphabet. Hence, we are 18 letters short. Phonemic awareness means the ability to identify and manipulate the sounds within words. And the 2 most common phonemic awareness activities are blending and segmentation. Now, phonemic awareness activities are usually discontinued with students when they are reading comfortably at the first grade level. However, some students have developed this ability naturally by the time they get to kindergarten and don't need any phonemic awareness activities. Some students benefit from brief exposure, and some need a bit more. 2, phonics instruction and word work. Everybody believes that phonics instruction should be included in emergent and beginning level reading programs. Everybody does. The holiest of whole language practitioner believes that explicit and direct phonics instruction, letter sound association, is important. Skills-based programs, whole language, balanced literacy, they all believe in phonics. And the National Reading Panel Report described several different approaches to phonics instruction. Synthetic phonics, analytic phonics, embedded phonics, analogy or large unit phonics, onset rhyme phonics, phonics through spelling. And the National Reading Panel Report said that each of these are equally effective. Thus, and many of the state reading laws and science of reading advocates focus only on synthetic phonics, putting letter sounds together, when you should include all of these types of phonics instruction. The 3rd element, Word recognition activities. Recognizing words is different from identifying words. To recognize a word is to see it in print. It's in your lexicon or the dictionary in your head, and you immediately know what it is. You recognize it. Word recognition activities are used to develop three word recognition systems, sometimes called cueing systems. Now, before you freak out, the three cueing systems is not an approach, it's not a skill, it's not a strategy. It is an understanding that the brain uses three interacting and interconnected systems to recognize words during the act of reading. And again, recognizing words is different from identifying words. To recognize a word is when you see it in print and you automatically know what it is. Aha, I recognize you, you say. To identify a word, and we'll talk about that next, it's in your lexicon. You see it, but you don't immediately recognize it. So you have to consciously apply a strategy. However, the three neurocognitive systems are word recognition systems that work together are the phonological system, or phonics, the semantic system, or semantics, and the syntactic system, using grammar or word order. Semantics is using context. Phonics is using letters or letter patterns. All three of these work together to recognize words while you're reading. Number four, activities and instruction for word identification. Again, this is a very important point. To identify a word, you see it in print. It's in your lexicon, but you don't know what it is. You don't recognize it. So you have to consciously employ a strategy, and there are four of them. Analogy or word families, you look for parts that you know. For morphemic analysis is looking for pattern parts that make sense. It's usually prefix, suffix, and root. Context clues is semantics, what makes sense, and then phonics or decoding. All four of these strategies should be included in a reading curriculum and taught using very direct and very explicit instruction. Now, a skill is something you implement automatically without thinking. A strategy is something you consciously employ. We teach the strategy explicitly to develop the skill so that you eventually don't have to think about these four strategies. We teach the process to develop the skill. We teach the strategy to develop the skill. Thinking moves from outside to in. Number five, daily reading practice. All students at all levels need practice reading books that they have selected. Like any skill, one needs to practice in order to get better. Would you expect to learn to play the piano if you never practiced? Could you learn to play the piano if you did not have good music to play? Could you learn to play the piano if all the music given to you was too hard? So it is with reading. And by the way, the National Reading Panel Report recommends that independent reading of authentic texts be used to practice skills learned. And the National Reading Panel Report recommends balanced literacy. See page 2-97 if you think I'm making this up. Number six, social interaction and conversation around good books. Literacy is a social process. In reading, you're interacting with authors through their words and ideas. And in writing, you're using your words to interact with others. Social interaction around good books and writing enhances high-level thinking, literacy learning, and it enables students to learn content knowledge more deeply. and social interaction could involve a variety of activities, including book talks, literature circles, book clubs, book evaluations and critiques, top 10 lists, journal entries and responses, and planned discussions. These experiences need not be long or complicated, but they should be planned and purposeful. Social interaction and conversation. Number 7, authentic writing experiences. Now, the reading-writing connection has been well established. One impacts the other. And an authentic writing experience is one in which students are asked to use writing to describe, express, and share their ideas and experiences. And again, the reading-writing connection has been firmly established. As well, writing is the best way to develop the semantic cueing system, grammar and word order. And like social interaction, these writing activities do not need to be long. They can be as short as 3 to 10 minutes. And they can also be designed to be used as pre- or post-reading activities or to reinforce target letter patterns. But they should be doing authentic, describing their ideas and their experiences. Number 8, comprehension instruction and activities. And there are two parts to comprehension instruction. The first one is to develop cognitive processes used to create meaning with print, the cognitive processes or thinking operations that expert readers use. And these include things like predicting, cause-effect, inference, summarizing, those cognitive processes. And we teach them explicitly. The second part of the comprehension instruction refers to study skill strategies used to create meaning with expository text. That is, we teach students how to read expository text or a textbook or informational stuff. Study skill strategies are used here with expository text, not narrative texts. All right, comprehension instruction. Number 9, activities to develop word knowledge or vocabulary. Now, wide reading is the most efficient and effective way to develop students' vocabulary, plus exposure to new words in context. But there are a variety of pedagogical strategies that should also be used to add depth and dimension to students' word knowledge. What about vocabulary instruction, you say? Well, children learn between 4,000 and 5,000 words a year. You can't direct instruction your way to an expanded vocabulary. While a small amount of direct instruction might be helpful, especially instruction related to morphology, comprehensive reading instruction should focus on developing students' total word knowledge. And there's a variety of activities that can be done here. Number 10, the affective development, affect. Affect deals with motivation and emotions. Getting students to fall in love with books is a teacher's number one priority. After that, much of reading instruction takes care of itself. Reading volume has been attributed to gains in word identification, comprehensive fluency, and conceptual knowledge. We want to have good books, and we want students to be motivated to do this wide reading. That means we have to have good books available that children want to read, and these books should be at their independent level or below. And the other affective element is emotion. We do not frustrate or humiliate our students. Positive emotion has been linked to more learning. Negative emotion has been linked to an impediment of learning. So we stay within students' zone of proximal development when introducing those new skills. We don't use a one-size-fits-all curriculum. Rather, we differentiate to meet the individual needs of our students. And we expect and encourage students to be at different levels and establish different goals. The 11th essential element is fluency. And reading fluency is defined here as the ability to quickly recognize words during the process of reading. It has to do with the speed of processing. The ability to automatically recognize words frees up space in short-term memory, and this can be used for word identification and comprehension. Now, fluency has nothing to do with accuracy, and that's measured separately and taught separately, and it has nothing to do with expression. And expression is different from prosody, and I'll describe that in another area. But strategies here include repeated reading, replay analysis, scaffolded oral reading, choral reading, echo reading, short passage fluency, retrospective miscue analysis, and reader's theater. And of course, wide reading is the best strategy of all. The 12th essential element is students' social cultural background. What students bring to the text or to any learning experience is an essential part of their learning. It helps them learn. So using culturally sustaining pedagogy, teachers capitalize on students' strengths and their experiences with language in text in helping them learn how to read and write. And culturally sustaining pedagogy involves three interconnected elements. One, total intellectual growth. Two, cultural competence and inclusion, and three, support of students' critical consciousness. That's from Gloria Ladson-Belling. All right, big finish here. It is essential that these 12 elements be in a reading program. But essential does not mean that all students need each of these elements, or that each student needs all of these elements, or that all of these elements need to be taught in a prescribed order or in a predetermined way. It is essential that all these elements be included so that teachers are able to adopt and adapt only those that they need to help each student reach their full potential. That means we have to have knowledgeable teachers and empowered teachers. This has been the Reading Instruction Show. I am your host, Dr. Andy Johnson.